And thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, August 28th, and I'd like to invite our first guest to the studio. It's Steve Quinn, here to talk about the Learn to Skate coming up. Hi, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Before I talk about the upcoming program on Saturday, I also want to thank Heather Bryant, who has been very generous to us in getting photos of what we do at the rink year-round up on your website. And we really do appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. So for folks who don't know about the Juno ice hockey, well, I don't know how anybody could not know, really. But maybe you could give us kind of an overall view of actually what happens over at that rink, because it's pretty busy starting now.
It is. And on Saturday, the Juno Douglas Ice Association, which is the youth hockey association, is going to, with the help of the Treadwell Ice Arena Management, sponsor a Learn to Play event. It's 2 hours on the ice, and we recommend that the families get there a little bit early. The people will be there to help them put on gear and skates. It's free. There is no charge for the skate rental. There is no charge for the gear. And the kids just go out on the ice and have fun with the coaches. And we use this as a way to stimulate interest in hockey for the families, and let them know that we want to make it accessible, fun, and affordable. And it was a very big success for us last year. We had about 34 kids in our intro program, and those are usually ages 4 to 6. And we had about one coach for every four kids, which is a very good ratio. So the kids have fun, they get a lot of attention, and I think the parents really enjoy it too.
Yeah, so if you are a kid, it's for people who have absolutely no experience, or maybe you have a little, or who can come?
Both. No experience, or maybe we did this in the spring, just before the rink closed. And we just kind of jump-started the interest for the following year. There are about 14, 15 kids out there. We hope to see them out there again on Saturday. So, but they've got a little bit of experience. But we also welcome somebody who's never been on the ice, who's never skated.
And what ages is it for?
It's really for any age. Anybody
so
who wants
could
to start. You close. I mean, we've had 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds who decide they want to try hockey for the first time, and they get hooked. Most of the kids out there are probably ages 4 to 6.
Oh, okay. So it's for little guys.
It's for little
guys.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's for any age. Like I said, a couple years ago, we had a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old show up. And he did it for a couple weeks with the introductory kids, and then he joined his peers, his age group peers. And now he's playing again. He played in the state tournament, and he did a real good job last year.
So is it mainly skating skills, or is it everything?
Oh, it's everything. It's skating skills. We'll take wax of the puck and tennis balls and other toys that are on the ice for them to. But they're given a stick, and they're given a chance to hit the pucks and pass the puck and put the pucks in the smaller nets. Give them a feel for the game.
Great. And who are your instructors? Are these people who are playing in the leagues, or how does that work?
These are the instructors are coaches that go through a lot of, they're all volunteer, and they go through a lot of training. They take courses that reflect the age group that they're coaching. They have to take a class every year, depending on what level they're at. They go through additional training under the auspices of USA Hockey and the Alaska Governing Board, Alaska State Hockey Association. But they do it because they have fun doing it. Some of them don't have kids in the program. Others do. And even if they do have kids in the program, they're not necessarily coaching their kids. They're out there because they enjoy it.
Great. So what time does it start?
It starts at 4 o'clock and goes till 6, but we recommend that the families show up a little early, maybe around 3:30. That way they can pick out gear and try it on. If it's too big, they can try something else on, and they're not rushed to get on the ice. And there'll be people there to help them get dressed and help them learn how to put the gear on for the first time.
That's awesome. So is this kind of like a gateway? Do the kids get a chance to move on into other leagues, or have you seen a lot of kids do that?
A lot of our more advanced players, including five from Juno who went to the Arctic Winter Games last year, they started in this program. And then they enjoyed it enough to keep playing, and they got better at it. And those five kids all came home with gold medals, or gold ulus, as they have it. Five players on three different teams, all champions. And they started in this kind of exercise of learn to play.
Great. So it's 4 to 6 p.m. It's at the Treadwell Ice Arena. That's this Saturday.
Right. And after it's over, the Juneau Douglas Ice Association is also sponsoring a barbecue at Sandy Beach. So you can meet other parents and other players, and it's just a way to continue what we've started outside.
And is it mostly youth? The Juneau Douglas Ice Association is all, is it up to 18, or how does that work?
It's up to 18. They have age group levels all the way through until they graduate. A lot of the kids, when they're 16, 17, and 18, they play with the youth hockey, but they also play at the high school. And with the high school, they get their season in the games. With the youth hockey, they get more ice time before high school starts, again, and after high school starts. And they go to a state tournament if they choose.
Great. So if people are wanting to get more information, not just about this Learn to Skate, but how to get involved in youth hockey in Juneau, is there a website that people can check out or a Facebook page?
We've got a website. It's called jdiahockey.com. And it tells you everything, what's coming up, the schedules, the events, a little bit about what we are and who we are. And there's some photos on there to kind of illustrate what we do.
Super. Anything else you want to tell us about Learn to Skate Saturday, this Saturday from 4 to 6?
We just hope as many kids come out as they want to, really. It's a lot of fun, and I think the coaches have just as much fun as the kids. but we're older, so we get tired a little quicker.
That's right. 2 hours you hang in there, yeah.
Pretty much.
Steve, well, thank you so much. And, I hope lots of kiddos show up to learn to skate this Saturday at the Treadwell Ice Arena.
Outstanding. Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon. It's Thursday, August 28th. My name is Shona Strausser. And in the studio with me, I have Art Roach, the Artistic Director, Executive Artistic Director at Prince Spirits Theatre. Hi, Art.
Close. Hi, Shona.
Well, full disclaimer, straight up, there's a reason why Art comes, Prince Spirits Theatre comes on Thursdays. It's because I am also a theatre geek.
Did I see you earlier today?
Maybe you did.
Yeah.
So you have a really, you're working on a pretty epic, and I can use that word, project right now. And it's the first show of the Perseverance Theater season. I was hoping you could chat a little bit about that.
It's kind of one of the epics, isn't it? It's called a play called An Iliad, which is inspired by Homer's Iliad. you know, the epic about the Trojan War with Achilles and Hector and Helen of Troy and Agamemnon, and Odysseus plays a small part in the Iliad. All those great characters, yeah.
You know, and it's this play is particularly interesting because it is this epic. You know, it's how many wars?
10 years of war.
Ten years of war, and but in this epic production, it's actually all played by one person.
Yeah, the play was written by Lisa Peterson, and an actor that she cast as the poet Homer, basically, a few years ago. Lisa's an amazing director and a bit of a writer herself. And the what if they asked is, what if the guy that told the story, it was oral tradition in Greek time, was still here today and had experienced all the war that had happened since the fall of Troy that's described in the Iliad up until today? How would he tell the story now, and what would be different about it? So he does mention other things, and has, let's say, the 3,000 years of watching all the bloodshed has had its effect on this man. So, yeah, it's a solo show, and that's the conceit.
How does that, as a director, because you're directing this piece, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so you've directed a couple of shows that that people in Juno will have seen before, Of Mice and Men being one of them, and Perseverance.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how, when you have a one-man show, how is that different than working on, say, a big old cast like Of Mice and Men?
Well, you always know who's coming to rehearsal. sort of, you know, every day at rehearsal, oh, yeah, you're here again. Right. I wonder who's coming. You know, it's not, you don't have to look at the schedule to figure out which actors are called today. And then because of that, there needs to be a little bit of extra effort made to keep it fresh and to not try and overload that person, because you're trying to cram a whole lot into one person's brain at one time, and everyone has their own limits. So, you know, like working with actors anytime, but particularly this, it's important to be very aware of what that actor's process is and what their needs are, and push them, but not push them past the breaking point. It's also terrifying to be on stage alone as an actor. Can you imagine talking for an hour and 40 minutes with no one to pick you up if you drop something, and no one else to, yeah. So it's important to support the actor in that way too, and make sure he feels that he can succeed. We're lucky to have a really good one to play the poet, so that's good. Boston Christopher is doing that part, and he's fabulous. So
yeah, he is an actor's. I hate to say some cliche words, but he's an actor's actor. This guy is a really talented man, and it shows in his work for sure.
Yeah.
So you've got this epic story, and you put it in, you know, through the eyes of one person. What have been things that have really surprised you about how easy or how hard that is?
Well, fortunately, Boston is really together on the words, so we've had to be aware of his process of learning the lines, but he's always been ready for us, and we're ready to work on a particular piece. The other thing that's been really interesting is working with Lucy Peckham. So there is another performer on stage, and it's a frequent sound designer and composer that works with us named Lucy Peckham, who lives in Anchorage and just recently did all the Summerfest shows, for example. And she plays the cello. That's her instrument, and has written a bit of a score for this that's quite beautiful. And seeing them, we've had a fairly free process of seeing them sort of exchange ideas between music and words has been really fabulous. So that's been fun.
Is it one of those things where she acts as his muse, essentially? Or
yeah, he actually calls her the muse, and there's a scene towards the beginning where he isn't sure if he can tell the story again today. I don't want to give away too much of the plot of the poet's arc, but he does come in and realizes that he has an audience and has to tell this story again. And looks around for the muse, as it were, and she's not there, and it feels a little deflating for him. So when she finally arrives, it helps pick him up a little bit later. It's quite a beautiful little relationship that they have, and we're still exploring all the things that she does for him. It's pretty great.
Yeah. So what was the motivation or the interest in this particular story at this particular time in this particular town?
I think it's similar to Lisa's motivation for writing it in the first place. It was definitely for her response to how long the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan had been going on, and they're still going on. And those particular places in the world have been, you know, this story began not far away from there in Asia Minor, in what's now Turkey. So there's been a long, long, long history of conflict over that ground, and it's spilled out over the whole globe, and other wars have been. It's really very timely. So there's that, and I think today, being able to connect to something old, this story being so old and connected to our own lives, which is the way the poet does for us, is really interesting. To the extent that he works really hard as a storyteller in the play, it's to make the story relevant to us today. And the writing is really brilliant at that, and the actor's really up to it.
That's great. And this is our first show of the season, and I think we can maybe tell everybody when it opens, because it's pretty soon.
It's pretty soon. It's come fast, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We have a preview next Wednesday, which is Pay As You Can, as always, and then Friday, the 5th of September, is opening night, and it runs for the usual 4 weekends, closing on the 28th. There's a schedule change this year to mention, too, which is that all of the Sunday curtain times are now at 4 p.m., so it's kind of a compromise between the 7:30 on the school night thing and the daytime matinee. So 4 p.m. is a new time for us, and all of our Sunday performances this year will be at 4. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that is definitely. Can we take a few minutes to talk about the rest of the season that's happening?
Yeah, someone here is working on Chicago, right?
And knee deep. Well, yeah. All the ears deep.
Ears deep, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Chicago the Musical is happening for sure, and that's exciting.
Directed by Shona Strasser. That'll have an extra weekend this year. As usual, that second slot has been a little bit longer, and so when the days get longer and the weather gets colder, we break out the heat.
True.
There's a beautiful play after the first of the year. We should just take turns here, called The Mountaintop by Katori Hall, who's a really, really amazing African-American woman, and it's set in the hotel room in Memphis, Tennessee, in that last hours of Martin Luther King's life. So he comes home after delivering the mountaintop speech and meets someone who appears to be a maid at the hotel, and she engages him in conversation. You hear him call his wife and say goodnight to his children, and then later in the play we find out who this woman is. And I think that's all we should say. It's just a great, intimate portrait of a famous man in the last hours of his life.
And, you know, with all the things that are happening in Ferguson and just what's happening in our country, it couldn't be more timely.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful piece. Yeah. It's just written beautifully, and, very excited to see that. Yeah. And then after that, what's after that?
So it's been 50 years since Neil Simon wrote The Odd Couple in 2015, 1965. Also, Neil Simon is the most prolific American playwright that Perseverance has never produced. So those two facts kind of made me think, well, maybe we should do The Odd Couple. And that's, of course, the inspiration for the TV phenomenon. And it's the story of Oscar and Felix, who are both men of the 60s, when divorce was a much more traumatic thing and stigmatized thing, going through separations and divorces. And they both personify different aspects of the masculine and the feminine in various extremely funny ways. I mean, it's Neil Simon could really write a joke.
So, yes, he can. I mean, more than anything, really.
Yeah, just a really, really funny writer. Great things for actors to do, and the actors love to play it. So it's that'll be done as a period piece on the occasion of the 50th.
Oh, cool. And we were talking about this the other day with one of the director of the piece, and it was interesting to talk to him about the authentic guyness of this particular play, you know?
It reminds me of Mad Men, you know, that whole phenomenon, and it's a portrait of the American male, and because it's 50 years old, you can get a sense of how much has changed, and I don't mind saying it as an American male myself. There's work to do, gentlemen.
50 years, you're not seeing a whole lot of growth there.
There's been some. But,
yes, definitely.
You know, there's room to grow there.
Yeah. Well, and there was also, I mean, when reading the script, it is one of those things where you're like, well, this is a period piece.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You actually, people don't say that anymore.
Yeah. It's great. A great American classic. It sure is. Yeah.
And currently, right now, we have on our schedule, the last show is the ever popular TBA.
To be announced, yeah.
And what kind of things are you looking at for that slot?
I think we'll be able to tell people what it is by opening next Friday. So you might watch the Facebook page or the website or wherever you get your information from the theater. The play that we're looking for is something funny, something written by a contemporary female playwright, and something with great roles for women. And I think we're just applied to rights for something that fits the bill. So I'm very excited about that. Perseverance is part of an effort to produce more living contemporary female playwrights.
There's a group called National Theater Conference, which has a goal of producing over 100 productions around the country by women who have not yet made it on Broadway and have maybe first productions but need second, third, fourth, and fifth productions. And the play we have in mind fits that bill as well. It's really important because there's a whole crop of very talented women writing for the stage today and writing great roles for women to play as well that is really worthy of support. So, yeah.
Great. It's very exciting to launch on a whole new season. I love the fall for this particular reason.
Yeah, you can get indoors and get busy.
Yeah. Speaking of being indoors, can we just tell the dates one more time of An Iliad?
An Iliad opens September 5th, next Friday, and closes on the 28th. And remember, those Sunday performances are at 4 o'clock this year.
That's great. And people can always check out perseverancetheater.org. It's our website.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also check us out on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people tweet every now and again, although I can't say I'm a...
You can follow Perseverance on Twitter. There's a little information there.
Yeah.
And we have a new URL, too. If you can't spell Perseverance like me, you can try ptalaska.org, too, and that'll get you to the same website.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to tell us about this upcoming season?
Tickets are at the usual outlet, and there are, I think, some subscription seats still available. So that's a great way to save money and not miss any of the theater.
Yeah, definitely. Subscription seats are the way to go,
for
sure. And we do have those pay-as-you-cans also listed on the website.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Art Roach, always a pleasure, of course. And thank you for coming to talk to us about Perseverance Theater's upcoming season and Break a Leg with An Iliad.
Thank you, Shauna.
Yeah. And here is Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 28th of August, 2014. 1922, on this date, the first paid radio commercial was broadcast. It came over WEAF in New York City. It was an ad for the Hawthorne Court Apartments in Jackson Heights, Queens, a commercial in which the announcer said, "Friend, you owe it to yourself and your family to leave the congested city and enjoy what nature intended you to enjoy." 1859, on this date, the first of two powerful solar storms hit the earth, solar flares. Telegraph wires were shorting out, streams of fire coming out of them, compasses useless. Northern lights were seen as far south as Cuba. In some place the southern lights were so bright that birds began chirping in the middle of the night. If a similar storm happened today, it's estimated it would cause up to $2 trillion worth of damage. And it's the birthday of the poet John Betjeman, born in London, 1906. Who was instrumental in saving the Victorian facade of the St. Pancras railway station in London from demolition. And so now a statue of the poet stands in the station at platform level, gazing up in admiration at the architecture. Here's a poem for today by Michael Blumenthal entitled "Be Kind." Not merely because Henry James said there were but four rules in life, be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind, but because it's good for the soul, and what's more, for others, it may be that kindness is our best audition for a worthier world, and despite the vagueness and uncertainty of its recompense, a bird may yet wander into a bush before our very houses. Gratitude may not manifest itself in deeds entirely equal to our own. Still, there's weather arriving from every direction. The feasts of famine and feasts of plenty may yet prove to be one. So why not allow the little sacrificial squinches and squigulas to prevail? Why not inundate the particular world with minute particulars? Dust's certainly all our fate, so why not make it the happiest possible dust, a detritus of blessedness? Surely the hedgehog, furling and unfurling into its spiked little ball, knows something that with gentle touch and unthreatening tone can inure to our benefit. Surely the wicked witches of our childhood have died, and from where they are buried, a great kindness has eclipsed their misdeeds. Yes, of course, in the end, so much comes down to privilege and its various penumbras, but too much of our unruly animus has already been wasted on reprisals. Too much of the unblessed air is filled with smoke from undignified fires. O friends, take whatever kindness you can find and be profligate in its expenditure. It will not drain your limited resources, I assure you. It will not leave you vulnerable and unfurled, with only your sweet little claws to defend yourselves, and your wet little noses, and your eyes to the ground, and your little feet. A poem by Michael Blumenthal, Be Kind, from No Hurry, published by Etruscan Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, August 28th, and my name is Shona Strausser. Our next guests in the studio have some very important rooftop. They could shout it from the rooftop, so to speak. This is Jenny Palmer and Phil Campbell. And Phil Campbell is the pastor at Northern Light United Church. And Jenny is in charge of fundraising of a very important effort that's upcoming. Actually, it's ongoing. Welcome to the studio.
Right. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So the church is in need of a new roof.
Yes. The church is an A-frame structure, which makes for great acoustics, which makes it such a wonderful venue for concerts and all sorts of community events. But it also means that the walls are the roof. And so when we replace the roof, there's a whole lot of roof to replace. And the Juneau rainforest climate has taken its toll, and even more than we thought. It's a huge project. We thought was going to cost about $350,000, and now it's over $550,000. And so we're inviting the community that we partner with to partner with us in raising the additional money we need to complete the roof.
And, you know, we were talking just before we came on air just about how many community events actually happen in that space, because I can't really think of one person who probably hasn't gone through that building to participate in some way, whether it be with their kids, an arts organization. Can you go through some of the events that have happened there? Because it's pretty epic in proportion.
It is.
It's an amazing place because we have Juneau Cooperative Preschool there. It's a nursery co-op. There's a dad and babies group from Bartlett Hospital that meets there. Girl Scout troops, 12-step meetings for alcoholics, Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 70, mud rooms, which we all are familiar with too, which is a community storytelling initiative, Life Ring, a woman's life fellowship skills, and Juneau fetal alcohol spectrum, and many others. I mean, I can go through listing and listing and listing. And in fact, the other night I walked in, well, it was actually 3:30, but it felt closer to night because I'd worked all day. But anyway, so I walked in and I could hear violins in the lower level and children's voices, and they were practicing the violin. I mean, it's a wonderful energy-filled space. And when you think of the name Northern Light, it's like it is a Northern Light for this community and for many other outlying communities where they come in and use the facility.
And you think of, and then their events, Juneau Symphony has its symphony showcase there every year. and the Bach Society concerts and the Alaska Youth Choir concerts and the Juno String Ensemble concerts. And so it's a great space for that those musical endeavors. And then we provided office space for Haven House that has just now received its permit to be open for their work with women who are returning to the community from prison. Juno People of Peace and Justice meet in our space. And so the spectrum is really quite remarkable in terms of the variety of different groups and constituencies within our community who are part of our community center that also happens to be a church.
Yeah, and it's amazing because it's just so welcoming and open.
Yes.
And that's the way it feels every time we go in. Yeah.
Well, it really is. And if you drive by the church now, you'll see that we are undertaking the roof now. And because we couldn't wait any longer because it was really leaking. I mean, the copier one day got a good dose of water landing on it. And so there were other places that was really coming down. And so they are undertaking it right now. And this is our final big push. And we'll be able to make it. And if the community can help us, that would be fabulous.
So how much do you need to raise?
We've got $200,000 to go, and we've just been getting a big boost by the Rasmussen Foundation that has funded so many important endeavors throughout our state. And Rasmussen doesn't typically fund a church roof, but they've recognized our role as a community center, and so we've gotten a $25,000 Rasmussen grant, and they've really encouraged us to reach out to the community and say, hey, Juno, let's match this grant, and that would really go a long way in if we can match that $25,000. We've had another $25,000 challenge that's just been announced. And so if we can match both of those, we'll be within striking distance of the end.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It is really amazing, and it's a wonderful project, you know, and we really have to thank for the incredible generosity of the people that have already helped us.
Absolutely.
And given to us. I mean, it's been amazing. And Rasmussen Foundation, we just can't thank enough for recognizing the value of this structure and this roof to this community and to other people. We also have to acknowledge the Alaska Native groups, the Brotherhood and Sisterhood, because they really contributed as well. And so with all of that wonderful positive energy, we just feel that with the community as it is now, we could make it the rest of the way.
And then you also mentioned mudrooms is...
That's right. So Mudrooms will kick off its fourth season. We're now the venue for Mudrooms. This will be the second year they're here at Northern Light. And their first event in September, I think it's the second Wednesday in September, the proceeds from that Mudrooms inaugural event for season four will go to the church roof. And so we'll be there taking the money, and we're really grateful for that partnership with Mudrooms as well. If you don't get to the Mudrooms concert, you can just send a check to the church.
That was my next question.
That's right. Well, we're 400 West 11th Street. That's our mailing address. We also have a website. It's northernlightchurch.org, so it's easy to find. And we've got an online giving tab. And any money that goes, if you make a gift tax deductible, if you make it designated to the roof, 100% of it will go to the roof. And so we'd be grateful for any support we could receive either online or through the mail, or you can drop one off. People are in and out of the building all the time. You can just drop off a donation at the church office.
That's great. And, you know, if you've walked in that building ever before because you've watched a concert or heard the concerts sound beautiful in that space,
oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah. They do.
And it might be because of the roof also.
It is.
Yeah, I know. But if you have done that, consider that, and most of the events that I've been to there have been free of charge. And just to think about what you can do to give back to the community that's helping to raise you.
So, yeah. It really makes a difference. In fact, Mark, I can't think of Mark's last
Wheeler.
Name. Wheeler. Wheeler, who started the little restaurant Copa. When he first got started, he donated money from his
The raspberry sherbet sales, and he got a start. We were an incubator, a small business.
Rhubarb. Sir.
A rhubarb, yeah, that's right. Rhubarb, sorry. But we were the incubator, small business incubator. We have a commercial kitchen, and he used our kitchen. We also used the kitchen to provide lunches for children at the Geneva Woods housing complex who don't have access to free lunches during the school year. So they have them during the school year. So during the summer, we made lunch for them in the church. So another way the church is used.
Yeah. So, but it's really amazing because Mark believed in this project way back. Of course, he was familiar with the leaks coming down at that point. So, but we're really happy and we're so pleased that he really helped us kick off the drive in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And we're so appreciative of that.
The thing I say over and over, it's not about the roof. It's about everything that happens under the roof. But unless we secure the roof, those things won't continue to happen. And so that's what we're inviting in terms of partnership with the community so that together we can preserve this amazing place. And I've had the privilege to serve a lot of churches in the years of my ministry, but I've never been at a place that is so connected with the community and opens its doors so widely. Most religious communities do that, and I certainly am appreciative of all the congregations and religious communities that that cooperate with the community. But I've never been a part of one that really sees it as so central to its mission to be in partnership with a wide array of people in the Juneau community.
So we're looking for about $200,000 more, and this is for a $550,000 roof. I was wondering if we could get just the details of where people could donate online, get more information, and the address one more time if people just want to drop by some money.
Absolutely. Church address, it's Northern Light United Church, or NLUC. You can make a check out. 400 West 11th Street in Juneau, 99801. Or you can donate online at northernlightchurch.org.
And you could always call the church office. You know, we have a wonderful little gal there, Christina, and also Phil is there quite often when he's not busy with other things. And and she could give you the address over the phone or how to donate or what the hours of the church office is so that you could come directly to the church and donate it.
And the number's 586-3131.
That's right, and you can talk to really anybody around town to find out, you know, how have you actually, in what way have you participated in an event that has happened at that church? Because more than likely, you have.
That's right.
Well, you know, one of our members said a really interesting statement. He said, "This is a time to celebrate the generosity of the past and the promise of the future," and that's what we're asking: the promise of the future.
Jenny Plummer and Pastor Phil, thank you so much for coming on to talk about just the last push of fundraising efforts for what happened for the roof, but what happens actually under the roof at Northern Light United Church.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, August 28th. My name is Shona Strausser. And before we have Arts Up, our final guest will hear Bird Note for Thursday.
This is Bird Note. In summer, the grasslands of southern Saskatchewan resound with birdsong. Meadowlarks and bobolinks combine their voices in a rich, ringing chorus. Through these grasslands flows the Frenchman River, twisting and looping again and again, sinuously, mile after mile, the epitome of a meandering river. The river's flow creates its own music. It was meltwater at the end of the last glaciation, some 10,000 years ago, that carved the Frenchman River into the earth. Water from melting glaciers also laid down the soil that nurtures the grasslands. Today, the southern reaches of the river lie within Grasslands National Park, Canada's premier park devoted to preserving this unique ecosystem. As the river meanders, it blends its music with that of the birds. The soundscapes featured in today's show were recorded by Gordon Hempton and provided courtesy of QuietPlanet.com. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
And thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, August 28th. My name is Shona Strausser. And in the studio for Arts Up is Sandy Fortier. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Don't you just love Bird Note?
I do.
It's so relaxing. I almost just fell asleep in that 2 minutes.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
best way.
The bird sounds just like it yeah. brings me to a happy place.
Very peaceful. Speaking of happy places, what's going on in the arts in Juneau?
Yeah, the arts make everybody happy.
That's right.
That's a good segue. Yeah. Let's see. Well, okay, tonight we have something new that's not we don't talk about every week. There's a koi painting party tonight, 6 to 9 at 8355 River Place, and it includes materials, and you get to paint two fish. So that sounds fun.
Wow, cool.
And then karaoke night at McGivney's tonight.
That's right.
Tomorrow is Friday, and the Friday, 12 to 1 p.m., Oregon concert at the State Office Building Atrium. It's so beautiful. I wish everybody went to that every week on their lunch break.
It's so awesome. It sounds great and just big and full. It's great.
Yeah. 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 All different kinds of music get played. They play that, so... Yeah, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Dan Hobson playing guitar at the Gold Room, and Saturday.
And have you heard Dan Hobson play?
Yes.
Whoa, master.
Yeah. I mean, he has CDs. He's good.
He's got chops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Tomorrow night, it was tomorrow Friday?
Tomorrow is
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, yeah okay. Yeah. Tomorrow at 8 p.m. Sweet 907 is having a concert, the Common Kings, and I was just listening to their music before I came over. It's good.
Somebody told me that they're totally awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess after this, they're touring with Justin Timberlake is the word on the street.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should go. I mean, everyone should go. It's really good. They're playing tomorrow
is
and
it
Saturday.
Or?
Yeah, it's kind of like hip-hop, reggae, pop.
You said reggae. That's kind of
yeah.
my favorite.
Yeah. No, that's the, yeah. at least the song I was listening to. I'm like, this is just feel-good music that you just get. I mean, it's, yeah.
They're playing great. Saturday night at Sweet 907 as well?
Yes.
Whoa, cool.
Friday and Saturday
cool.
at 8.
Awesome.
And then the Gold Town Nickelodeon is playing The Human Experience tomorrow night at 9. And then we move on to Saturday.
I know a couple of other, I'm just going to throw a couple
oh, okay,
of other
thanks.
Things out on Friday just because I read about them online.
Yeah.
I guess downtown there's a couple of cool music things happening. The Alaskan is having some great musicians. I think the Wool Pullers, the Shiver Twins, I don't know, there's something, the Danielles or the Chantrells, I don't know, something with an L's, but I know it's, I know who it is. It's Cameron mm-hmm. Brockett and Taylor Vittick. Beautiful voices.
Yeah.
Yes. And, so it's kind of an end of season. I think Annie Bartholomew is playing. So there's a lot going on at the Alaskan. I think that's around the 9 or 10 tomorrow. And then across the street at the Rendezvous is a band called DNR and A, and they are totally awesome too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's just a lot them. Going on.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Man, we gotta get all that on our calendar you have concerts, you should go to JAHC. Well, anything, actually, anything going on in the community, go to jahc.org. Get
That's
on
right.
our calendar.
Pop
we'll
it
talk.
On calendar.
We'll make sure that we know everything about it, and we'll talk about it on the radio.
That's right.
You know, unless we have Shona, she already knows what's going on. She's the community calendar backup.
Oh, no. Scary. Don't put me in charge of that. Okay, so let's say we made it through Friday and we had lots of concerts and we hit the organ concert for sure at noon.
Yeah.
What happens on Saturday?
Okay, don't stay out too late because you have to get up and go to the annual food festival that's at the Jack. But it's from 9 to 2, so I guess suppose you could sleep in and you can still make it and see all the cool stuff.
Nice.
You can go get some lunch. That's at the Jack, and there's food for sale. The Jack has a pig that they're roasting and going to. It's a big fundraiser, so that'll be fun. It's like Rick is doing that for us. And in addition to that, there will be tables with jams, crafts, plants, community gardens, organic produce, truffles, yummy mushrooms, and then there's like a mushroom ID station, so you can bring your mushrooms and I guess find out if they're gonna kill you or whatever.
Right.
So lots of really neat things going on. That's tomorrow from 9 to 2.
Is it free? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, free to attend, and there will be some food trucks and food things that you'll buy your food, and that's it.
Cool. That sounds fun.
Yeah. And then Saturday evening at 5, Music on the Mountain is happening up at the top of the tram in the Chilcat Theater. And at 7:30 at the Jack on Saturday, Juno Jazz and Classics is presenting Zool Bailey playing beautiful cello music.
That's Saturday night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Zool Bailey, he'll actually be on Juno Afternoon tomorrow, so that's tomorrow's Friday. So you can check him out there and listen to what he has to say. Yeah, amazing cellist, too.
Yeah. And it's at the Jack, so it'll probably be pretty full, is my guess.
Yeah.
You want to go to that. So that's Saturday, and of course then you can go over to Sweet 907, they have their concert. So then we'll move on to Sunday 11 to 1, weekly ukulele jam at TK McGuire's, and then Sunday evening, international folk dance at the Alaska Club. It's just a class you can take, and maybe it's drop-in. You should check that out if you just want to try it out.
Hmm.
Yeah. Sunday night, also at the airport, Music on the Fly concert series. This is a weekly thing, and there are musicians out there playing for the travelers and anybody who wants to go because it's free. It's just in the terminal there. The Juno Symphony's Capital City Quartet is playing, and it's going to be good. It's like the top of the top players in Juno playing. It's flute, clarinet, violin, and tuba.
Whoa.
And they're going to play tangos, waltzes, and rags.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Do you know who the players are?
I know Sally Schlichting is playing flute. That's all I know, though.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, that will be really good. So you can go out there even if you're not traveling. That starts at 6:45 and it lasts for an hour. Let's see, Monday is Labor Day, but K2 is having a CD, Pete Griffin Story CD release in People's Pets at 4:30 to 6.
So wait, say that again.
Pete Griffin Story CD release.
It's about pets?
And people's pets. Yeah, I think the stories might, there are stories and then other stories about people's pets.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Right on.
Sounds fun.
I'm into it.
It's Monday night, intro to belly dance at the North Street Studio in Lemon Creek at 7. Someday I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah,
can
I think
challenge
so.
You to that?
You should.
Nice.
Then I'll actually do it.
Yeah. Just throw a bucket of ice on you or something.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's see. Tuesday, the 2nd, the City Museum has history story time at the City Museum. It's free, and it's from 11 to 11:30, so I suppose that you can bring your kids, and they won't get bored. It's going to be, it'll be exciting, and it's a half hour long. It's a perfect amount of time. Yeah, and then you can stay around or come back, go get lunch, and then come back and do their historic walking tour, which is at 1:30 on Tuesday. Yeah. Then we'll move on to Wednesday. On Wednesday from 10 to 11 at the Mendenhall Valley Library is Write for Your Life. And then later on that night, from 5 to 6:30, Unrest in Southeast Asia, a Thai Activist Perspective, which is here at K2. Yeah, I bet that's a hot topic.
Yeah, and I actually talked to the people that are bringing him up, the Juno World Affairs Council. I talked to them last week, and it's really impressive just what this man has done and where he sees the, you know, world and what's going on. So definitely check that out. That's going to be here at 360 North.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then later on that night, Wednesday, the Alaskan has an old-time string band jam.
I haven't
weekly.
Been to that yet, have you?
No.
I'd like to go.
I bet it's good because there are a lot of good just string folk players and singers in Juneau.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. And then next Thursday, there's a Tilted Canvas event at Suite 907 at 7, where I think you drink wine and paint, which
really?
Sounds perfect.
That's probably the only way that my painting would look any good.
Yeah, I mean, you would think it would look good, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
So they guide you through a scene, and then you get to put your own twist on it.
This is at Suite 907?
Yeah.
Crazy. Have you been there yet?
No, I've seen pictures, though.
Really?
Yeah.
So I have a friend, a director that came in from out of town, and he's from New York City. And, of course, he was like, where's the club? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea where the cool club is. So he sussed one out on his own, but, Suite 907 was newly opened, and he was like, this is really cool. You know, it's beautiful. He said it's been completely remodeled, and he said it was awesome. Had great lighting and good dance floor, and now you can paint there.
Yeah, I mean, they're having really good events there. They have the concerts, and now they're having this this painting class, and you can rent it out. I think it's going to be a good resource for the community.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And next Thursday, karaoke night at McGivney's every week, too. Every Thursday.
Yeah.
So I like karaoke.
Do you? Do you sing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, there's like sometimes have some wine too, and then I think that I sing well too, kind of like the painting.
I'm sensing a common thread here.
Yeah.
Nice. So I did want to chat with you because you're doing lots of work at the Jack right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to chat with you just about the season because I saw that season tickets for the Jack went on sale.
Yes.
And what is the season there these days?
We have a lot of events coming up this year. We have Intergalactic Nemesis, and it's like a multimedia comic book, basically, with people and sound effects. It's different. It's going to be really neat with lots of projections. So there's that. And then the gospel workshop and celebrations that are super popular here. Those will be in February. And community members can come sing for a week, learn how to sing gospel music. Anybody. It's beautiful.
Yeah, those concerts are really uplifting and fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got that. We have the Mexican Brass coming and Body Vox, which is like contemporary dance. They can, like, it's crazy. They can do anything they want in any space they want. It's really neat dance. I feel like I'm forgetting one, except that the last one is the Second City Players. So that is really great improv and
yeah, the Second
comedy.
City Players is where it's improvers that are, you know, from Chicago, and they are some of the best in the country, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
What about the London Ukulele?
That's the one I was forgetting.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes. Ukulele Orchestra from the UK. So I'm just, I thought that's going to be unlike anything anyone's ever heard.
No, because just ukulele orchestra in general, saying those things together don't really make a lot of sense to me. But
there
could
are
be
different
really cool.
sizes.
See?
And so you'll just have lots of different sounds.
See, I don't even know. So that maybe I should go check it out.
You should.
Well, cool. That sounds awesome. And tickets are available for the whole season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get a flex pass. You can pick the ones that you want, or you can get the whole season or just one at a time. It's flexible and it's really affordable.
Cool. And you can get all this information at jahc.org about the season passes as well as the event calendar. You could even check it out at ktoo.org.
Yes.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you.